Hey, Ryan, you're out of picture there. You're going to have to come sidle along to me a bit.
Hello.
Have you got enough length on you and your boom?
I've got enough length.
Aye,
I don't know if it's booming or not.
Scooch forward a bit. Where's Matt normally sit? About?
I don't know.
A bit further forward? That's about right.
There we go.
You're comfy. Can you reach your wine? That's the important thing, though. Say what? Let me move this. Move that out of the way. Right, hello, willkommen, bienvenue, konnichiwa, ni hao, jambo, marhaba. It's time for the Armistice Inquisition yet again. Episode 321 on Sunday, the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
St. Patrick's Day.
I'm Phil.
I'm Ben.
And we're joined by Ryan Seven tonight. How are you, Ryan?
I'm great, mate. Glad to be here.
How's your audio and your headphones and stuff? Is it okay? Too loud, too quiet?
Yeah. You sound happy? Great.
Yeah, I'm good, yeah.
You're happy? Dulcet tones in my ear.
Very good. Yeah, it's nice to see you again. We haven't... I think it was round about Christmas, wasn't it, last time you came in?
We talked about
Origins of Christmas. I think that was the last one we did.
Yeah. You're always so close to my heart that you're never that far away from me.
Oh, you're such a sweetie.
In time or space.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
What about in like a fourth dimension? Is that even a thing?
Probability.
I mean, if you want to go there, yeah, but you're going to have to do some kind of strange ritual to get there, bit of chanting.
I'm out.
Yeah.
we could just go
down the pub and meet up.
Oh, good. Nice one. How are you looking? I can go back to the other screen. We can stick to the studio cam, it's fine.
There we go.
We're all here.
Yeah, there's not many slides this time either, so.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you mentioned you sent me some slides today.
Hmm?
You messaged me, we were talking a few weeks back, and you said you'd been looking at Plato's account of Atlantis. And you were like, wow, why has no one picked up on this certain thing before?
Feels like nobody's read it.
A lot of people talk about it.
I know, but it's like, I'd never read it. Atlantis is only so interesting to me, but it is still interesting. And, you know, especially to your viewership, I bet you've had quite a few Atlantis.
We've done a lot of Atlantis episodes with lots of different views. People who think it's totally allegorical, people who think it's in the Azores, people who think it's a reshat.
I'm going to touch on all those things. I'm going to do a bit of an overview. But I think what I'd really like to accomplish with this would be to give people the ability to look at these things themselves, to actually give you a little tutorial, as it were, as we do it ourselves, to how to look at these ancient mystical traditions and how to kind of decode them yourself. Because as Phil was saying, the second I started to look at Critias, Plato's Critias, and started reading it, straight away, within half an hour, I'm like, well, what's that? What's this? What's that? Put them all to one side, and when I started to look at them, things started to happen. Now, I will say, this is an unfinished thing.
Oh, it's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress. And in fact, I'd like to entice everybody out there to join in this work in progress. The dove from above. Irano. So I think rather than look at this as like simply, let's extract everything about Atlantis, we can, through actually extracting everything about Atlantis, you know, figure this out yourself. Because as I said, it is a work in progress.
Okay.
And it does feed back into all the other episodes we've all done together as well, of course.
What sparked you to go back and read
Timaeus and Critias.
So I've been updating my tarot cards to go and get published, and as I was approaching the end of the Major Arcana, which are the 22 important cards in the tarot, I got to the Sun card, and I had a very mystical feeling, it was literally a mystical feeling, that it's got something to do with Atlantis. And then as I looked into it, immediately I was drawn to the myth of Phaethon, and then it turned out that that was the prelude to Atlantis, the tale of Atlantis by Plato in Critias. So I was definitely onto something there. And then as I read into it and started to add it to my card, I figured a few things out. And I don't know if your other guests have figured these things out, so please pull me up, but I've never seen it anywhere. And I've literally had a Greek philologist's students helping me out with some of the research as well. Wow. So shout out to Dr. Amon's student there that helped me particularly.
And so that's going back to the ancient Greek text, is it?
Yeah, I'll always go back to the ancient Greek. Always do your etymology, which is one of the things to do to extract these informations. You're not going to have to be able to read ancient Greek and, you know every word. But if when you come across names, when you come across place names, just go and look up what it means.
Right, okay, interesting. Right. Is it worth throwing the slides up and having a look at them, or is there any more
we can just give the peeps a general Atlantis intro, can't we?
Yeah, yeah.
So what is Atlantis in the modern day? How do we see it now as
Stargate?
Is that what
it's,
it is?
I think it's got sci-fi connotations to me. It's lost ancient civilizations with special technologies, maybe anti-gravity, throwing massive megaliths about, and all that crazy stuff.
One with the gods, UFOs, they can get off the planet, that kind of stuff.
That's how far you can go with it.
Is it under the water?
I think it's under the water. That's what I get.
Or people talk about Antarctica. Could have gone to Antarctica.
Gone under there with the Germans.
Yeah.
That's another star in itself. Although it does kind of feed in. We'll find out at the end.
Well, those Nazi guys were well into occult, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Looking for...
I mean, look at the technologies the Nazis were making, though. They were well above everybody else technologically during the war. During the war. Mm. And they were just outnumbered and outmoralled, hopefully.
Yeah. But I mean, the Plato's account. There's none of that stuff in the text. It's more.
No, he talks about space Nazis.
You know, it's more a case of, well, is the war with Athens? That's part of the narrative, isn't
it? It is. Let's dig into that a bit further down. So I think the underwater thing is probably because Atlantis is now often depicted being still around, isn't it? So like, you can go and find Atlantis, like some strange Gungan city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
Oh, that would have been super bombad. Ooh. Miso no
Miso
Oh, Brian Blessed, though. You know, top Gungan.
Are you retarded? But I've not got it on here, have I?
Are you retarded?
Are you retarded?
Gordon's alive.
He's great value. He's good fun. I love him. Blessed.
Yeah, multi-talented guy as well. Atlantis, what was it in the beginning? Well, you got to strip away all these ideas of some future technology. Yes, a technology. Yes, more advanced than everybody else, but not really. It's more of an idea that they were the first explorers, the first warriors, the first this, the first that, merchants. Yeah, Plato's clearly talking about had a naval fleet of traders and who knows what they were trading. Apparently, Atlantis was rich in metals and agriculture and everything that you could want, really. Mm. So it was an advanced civilization, but because when you line it all up, we're talking like 10,000 BC or just before.
This is going off his account where he mentions about Solon.
Yes.
Solon, the famous Greek.
Yeah, so there's a lineage there. So apparently it was written down on a pillar at Sinai in Egypt, and somehow It was in an underground temple, and somehow that's been lost. But it was Plato's teachers, ancestors, parents, uncles, auntie that had this, and then eventually gets passed down to Solon, and then through Critias gets passed on to Plato. The Critias is a dialogue, the actual title of one of Plato's works. Often these old texts were dialogues between one person and another. So this is some kind of a drunken, rambling text. What's interesting about that, now I say it, is that it finishes halfway through a sentence. And when you look at other works comparable to Atlantis, Atlantis being this holy mythical city, you know, it's an archetype, that a perfect place, a civilization, knowing at this time that they're talking about there was no civilization, or indeed, as the story goes, the end of a civilization before a fire and a flood. So all these things added together, this idea of an archetype, this kind of holy sacred city, it repeats itself with the Rosicrucians. You get the New Jerusalem and the New Atlantis.
Francis Bacon.
Yeah. Now, when you read these things, they finish halfway through a sentence. They don't finish themselves off. They're going, they're teasing you. And as we said, hopefully this will be some kind of a lesson in how to look at these kind of texts, these magical texts. They all read almost the same. And by examining these little hooks, these little, oh, look at this. Come on. Oh, it's unfinished. Oh, no. What will we do? Hang on a minute. Why would it be unfinished? They're getting you to read and delve into it. It's just these little tricks, these little hooks to get you to look at it. So, what is Atlantis? Where is Atlantis?
Well, doesn't Plato say, or it's related to Plato, that it's beyond the Pillars of Hercules?
Yes.
And most people equate that with the Strait of Gibraltar.
Hmm. No. The Pillars of Hercules are related to the Pillars of Atlas. Now, Atlas was the first king of Atlantis. But what is Atlas? Atlas is already a titan in the Greek pantheon. Oh, by the way, as I remember, a famous guy that Randall Carlson loves to quote all the time, Ignatius Donnelly,
yeah,
said that the myth of Atlantis is the key to understand the Greek myths. So again, let's start turning this key and unlocking this door. I could quite see how it is. So Atlantis, great civilization. People that were kind of initially pure of heart, very spiritual. They sound like the Egyptians were. Mm. They were just focused on this spirituality and the whole myth itself seems to speak of a spirituality. I mean, we can speak of the real Atlantis, and perhaps there was a lot. It's not for me to argue, really. I'm not going exploring where the Azores are. I'm not going looking at the Atlas Mountains. However, I can look at these myths, and we just mentioned Atlas. Well, Atlas the Titan, we all know him from maps, and Atlas. Well, it's not actually Atlas holding up the world. Atlas holds up the heavens. So we've already got the idea of a pole here, okay. Something holding up the heavens. The Pillars of Heracles, or Hercules, whatever you want to say, if you're actually going for the Greek, it would be Heracles. There were two poles that he knocks down, and they're both owned by Atlas. So again, we've got this idea of two poles. We've got that, which is the pole of the Earth, and if you imagine the planets going around the sun, they would have their own pole. So there's your two poles. That second pole is very secret to magicians. If you want to know about that, go look at the umpteen episodes we've already done.
Yeah.
It's very cool, though. So, straight away, I'm being pointed up. We've not even done anything yet. We were just getting directions to Atlantis, and we're being pointed upwards with these two poles and Atlas holding up the heavens. But anyway, let's talk about it geographically for a second. Said to be in the Atlantic Ocean, obviously.
Clues in the name.
Yeah. But which was named first? Was the Atlantic Ocean the Atlantic Ocean in the time of Plato? Yes, it was. But Can we rely on his testimony that this has been passed on? I don't believe he would need to make up a lineage before him as it's being passed on if there was some false pillars, you know, some equally made up pillars in Egypt that this is all written on. So perhaps there's a little bit of truth to it, or perhaps a lot of truth. Mm-hmm. Certainly you can look at similar myths all around the world. But again, as we'll go into in a little while, this myth of Atlantis ties into so many other myths when you think about it. I'm not getting there yet, though. So, where are we? Well, Randall Carlson talks about the Azores, doesn't he? That young chap, I forgot his name, off the YouTube, who's been on Joe Rogan.
Oh, Jimmy Corsetti, Bright Insight.
He seems to think it's a rich art structure, and that's very interesting because the Atlas Mountains are nearby. However, that name definitely came along later. And why the Atlas Mountains? Well, that's like what would have been Libya at the time, northwest Africa, and very tall mountains, some of the tallest known to the ancients at the time. Well, the thing about mountains are, equally, these are an Axis Mundi. And at the center of Atlantis is a mountain, which is said to be so tall that it touches the sky. It touches the, and so straight away we've got, well, not only the sky, I'm pretty sure it said the celestial sphere.
Wow, that's very specific.
Yeah,
language.
So it's going very high up. Yeah, yeah. Well, again, we're being pointed to the stars. So said in some ways to be a continent, in other ways to be an island or a series of islands, seven and three. You get three main islands and seven around. And straight away my brain's going, oh, it sounds like Kabbalah, which is an ancient mystical idea of emanations from a primordial first movement starting point all the way down to the earth through some archetypes. We'll get into this. So we've got three and seven. I'm going mystics. How was it? So it was like a big island with several rivers moving into it. Look, the thing about the ancient Greek is these words are very nuanced. I would have liked to look up the etymology of the word used as island and the word used as continent. They might have several meanings. Again, something for everybody to start looking into. So it's a rectangular continent, an inverted commas, island. And within that, there's this central mountain. And around it, in fact, we've got a picture of it somewhere.
Well, do you want me to go to a slide?
Let's do that.
It's this one. This
so we can
one.
See, yeah, so we can see that this is I think it's a Anastasius Kircher map of Atlantis. I don't know when Kircher was around, 1600s, 1700s, something like that. Athanasius Kircher. So there's Atlantis in the middle of the Atlantic. And nobody can actually find a good etymological root for the atl. And Manly P. Hall, famous Masonic mystic type, has commented that the place that you find atl anywhere around that area is in the Americas, in the Mayans. You know, Quetzalcoatl.
Quetzalcoatl.
And all
yes.
those kind of things. And what does atl mean in that local language? It means water.
Wow.
So that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, civilization is not supposed to exist before Columbus over there, man.
Well, you know what I mean?
You know?
Well, again.
We've been lied to on that score.
Yeah, well, certainly.
And there's a size there of the island. And this is, I guess this is derived this from Plato talks about, he mentions the size of Asia? It's the size of Asia?
Something like that, isn't it? Yeah. I think he means like local. It doesn't mean like Asia, China. Well, he means, you know.
In the time of the ancient Greeks, Asia
was
would have
Near
meant.
East.
What, Turkey? What's the old fashioned name for Turkey? Anatolia.
Anatolia.
Yeah.
And Jerusalem and all those, like that's Asia.
Yeah.
Again, this is much later. Obviously, Plato's like 400 BC, is it? 400?
Yeah, 430s. 432, probably.
Probably. So, yeah, we've got this big whopping great island. Also, possibly, as Jimmy there puts it, actually just in Northeast Africa. Other people have said it might have been Doggerland, which it was the area that connected Europe to Great Britain.
Yeah.
And obviously Great Britain's a bit of a contender in there, surely. Although the Romans knew about it. You don't hear much about Britain from anywhere else. There are places called like Hyperborea and things like that, which is contended to be England and other places up there, possibly the Arctic. Who knows? The ancients were crazy and talked a lot of nonsense. Right, so next one, please.
Oh, next one. Let's see what's next. Oh, wow.
So, yeah, there's the classic ancient world. Libya, obviously, Africa, and you can see there the old spellings like Ethiopians and Europe. But the Pillars of Hercules are the Straits of Gibraltar, which look like if that was a jaw and a mouth, they are the two incisors at the end there. And it is a small pass for people to get through.
Cadiz is near Cadiz, there.
Yes, and that comes back in later. You know a lot of this stuff already.
I'm not spoiling
that actually, am I? No. That actually relates back to somebody's name in Atlantis.
But oh, because that's like one of the oldest Phoenician ports.
Cadiz.
Was it called Gatir? Or is it, I think it was spelled with a G.
I'll have it written down in my notes somewhere.
Yeah, because I've been reading about it. It's a proper ancient place and obviously very strategically located there in the pillars.
Yep.
Sorry, go on.
That's nice. It's great.
Digress you.
I haven't like mega boned up on this because I like this freestyle thing and I knew you guys would know plenty about Atlantis being the Amish Inquisition boys. So, yeah, that's your ancient world there. And according to lots of people, beyond the Pillars of Hercules are those two little teeth at the front there, and then you're off into the Atlantic. However, I'm also citing that it's not only but also that those two pillars of Heracles are pointing to the two poles and are pointing you up. Atlas, by his very nature, points you up. Next slide, please. So here's I forget who's done this. It's probably somebody that Graham Hancock loves, one of those map dudes.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's a fairly old one, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And the interesting thing is it's backwards, isn't it?
Yeah, it's backwards. Well, often maps, is north now would have been east because they saw the rising of the sun as being the most important direction rather than magnetic north. Yeah. Because we're all navigators, and until you get magnetic north working and longitude and latitude perfect, then, you know, the rising sun is the best place to look. So, there is the island itself, all back to front, and there's your mountain in the middle that is like an axis. So, we've got to bear this in mind. An axis mundi is like a pole. It means an axis mundi, axis of the earth, a turning point of the earth. So straight away, you've got to think North Pole, right at the top of the world, and a point that connects the Earth spiritually and physically from here to up there. Next slide, please. Ooh. So there it is, Atlantis. You've got a temple to Poseidon in the middle. We'll get to that in a moment, and a very tall mountain. We've got a ring where all the important things are. Then a ring of water, another ring where all the important people are, and the merchants, and there's a gymnasium there, and horse racing and all things. I'm sure these mean something when you get down to it. The first thing I did, and I actually messaged Randall Carlson this, though he did friend me after it, but he's never got back to me. So it's supposed to be 50 stadia, and when I worked it out, what the circumference was of all these islands, it's pi.
Right.
Instead of being like 3.14159, whatever it is, it was 3.1.141, you know, just an order of magnitude up. And what's a decimal point between ancient peoples? So, you know, we're already getting at, I don't think, look, if it is real, it doesn't matter because there's stuff, or definitely things overlaid over the top of this. And Plato's teacher was Pythagoras. Pythagoras was an Orphic. The Orphics were... Orpheus was a a poet and had all these magic powers and was amazing at music and could charm all the animals. What are the animals? Well, it's you. You're all the animals. You act like an animal. And the people are animals. So he's a magician. He can tame people and get them to do what he wants to with his music. What is the music? Eventually, it's the music of the spheres. So we're getting pointed back upwards again. Why the music of the spheres? Well, when you work out all the distance of the planets and things like this, it ends up being these special numbers, 432, 108, 25, 920. Musical Pythagorean tuning, remembering that Plato's teacher was Pythagoras. So there's this whole beautiful, wonderful tradition wrapped up already. Plato would have known the Orphic tradition. What is it essentially? Well, the oldest work of in Europe, the oldest text that we have, is the Orphic Descent into Matter.
Wow.
Starts with Saturn. First of all, you have something called the Pleroma, a fiery realm. Then you have a sphere of fixed stars where all the zodiac and all the stars that don't move are. Then you've got, above that, you've got kind of a limitless nothingness. Then you've got this fiery realm. Then you've got these stars. Oh, we've got three there. Do you remember we said three and seven?
Yeah.
We got three there. Then we got seven planets. We've got Saturn, then Jupiter, then Mars. Then they have the sun in the middle, then Venus, then the moon, then Mercury, and then Earth. But you don't count the Earth. So, well, there's your three and seven. We already know where we are. You can see why I'm thinking, I know what Atlantis is. I know what he's getting at. Who started Atlantis? Well, it was the god Poseidon. You'd know him as Neptune. He's an ocean god. But when you trace him right back to the beginning, him and Jupiter are the same character. So I think what they're doing is he's meeting Jupiter, but he's making it even older because Poseidon was before Jupiter. So, and Jupiter comes in this story. So, but not in the story of Atlantis, he's in the story of Phaeton, which we'll go into in a moment. So, he actually gives measurements for all these things. Like I said, it's 50 stadia here, which is like 303 feet. And then I'm going 303, we're going to start getting 606 and 12. You know, we're going to start getting odd numbers out of this. So, I'm thinking now numbers, probably Pythagorean numbers, these 432s, etc. So, yeah, he maps it all out. He says there's a channel to the sea. We've got these ascending, as we see it on the screen now, it pretty much is described in this fashion. They've got loads of boats and bridges and wonderful civilization. Next slide, please. Here we can see a little better, and we can see that Greek priest there in the corner. That Greek Orthodox priest. You need those cool. Have you seen their robes? Greek Orthodox priest robes.
Yeah,
really cool.
They got mad hats as well, right?
Do they?
So, I don't know. That might be Russian Orthodox have mad hats.
I think so. That'd be really cool to look up. I know they have like really cool robes with like, they're like Sith robes with all like death's heads on there. Yeah.
Klaus Schwab.
Is he going to be any kind of Christian? Go and be an Orthodox Greek priest. So here's a picture. I'm a bit short-sighted, so I can't read any of those things. If anyone sees anything on there that is of interest or you think is worth talking about.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting. Everyone else lives out here-ish. So a lot of people get hung up on the measurements and think, well, it's not that big. It couldn't have housed millions of people. But, you know, there are those who say, well, no, this was the centre, the capital city, if you like, of a larger
empire. I hear silly things like Plato got the measurements wrong. And it's like, what are you on about? Yeah, there's like, it's a big island, it's a big continent, and this is just the middle of it-ish.
Yeah.
That's how it's described by Plato. What is of interest here is that there are three rings of walls, because they wanted to keep the barbarians out, because you've got to imagine the rest of the world is uncivilized. This is like the first, in inverted commas, civilization. So the outermost wall, which you can see is a ring there, Can you actually see like a
yeah, like an orange ring.
An orange ring. So that first wall is
brass.
Brass, yeah. The next one wall in is copper. The next one in is aurichalcum. Have we heard of aurichalcum before?
I don't know if that's going, yeah, I've heard of aurichalcum. Yeah, yeah. It's an old fashioned word for
It's a mystery. Well, so it moves on.
People think it was tin. Is it tin or
so we
bronze?
Think we found it. So we think we found it. Right. So aurichalcum means mountain copper.
That's right. So yes, the Chalcolithic period is the copper age. Yeah.
Which is a word I only heard about 2 years ago, Chalcolithic. I was like, what's that?
It's an old fashioned word that the guys don't use anymore. They'll I mean, the guys.
the guys out of the pub.
The history writers, the academia, don't use Chalcolithic. But if you read old books about ancient history, they talk about the Chalcolithic.
It's a great word.
Yeah.
So, aurichalcum means.
Sounds yummy.
It does, doesn't it?
Like calcium, it sounds like to me. Yeah. Calcium stone. So.
Aurichalcum.
Aurichalcum, yeah.
Aurichalcum. You were going to say, you think we found out what it was.
Yeah, yeah. So, at the time, it was like this huge mystery. Plato saying, is not only a name, but then was more than a name. And it's this gold, it's like gold, but red. And twinkles like gold. It's got a lovely luster. So it was a mystery for a long time, but we think we found it. They found some ingots on a wrecked ship, and they were copper, zinc, and a few other minerals that were like, oh, what have you put those in there for? And then when you started to think about it, I'm thinking it's meteorite. They've put meteorite in there because that's full of zinc and other similar exotic minerals. So I think they've, because how, you know, in Japan it's tamahagane that they make katana from, you know, special. It's not very good because it's very uneven and the smelting process in ancient Japan wasn't that good. But they are these symbolically amazing things.
So we think it's an alloy.
It's an alloy. They think they've found it, and it does look slightly red, slightly gold, beautiful sheen on it. Gorgeous stuff.
Nice. And was this shipwreck, was it dated? Do you know when it was from, roughly? Bronze Age?
It's like, I'm pretty sure it's early Roman. Don't quote me on that,
the Mediterranean, though. I think, wasn't it?
Was it Black Sea?
Was it Black Sea? I don't quote me.
I just don't.
Look it up, folks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm enticing you to go and look these things up yourself. So again, we've got three. Well, there's a fourth here, and that is the golden wall around the temple to Poseidon. So we're back to Poseidon. What's Poseidon doing there? Well, there was a lady there called Clayto, who I think that means shining. I shall be looking this up in a moment. Mm. So Clayto was a lovely lady, and Poseidon goes, ooh, I love a bit of that, because he's from Cornwall. He nearly went Chinese at the end then. Oh, I'm from Cornwall.
This is an old trope of Greek gods having their way with mortal women, isn't
mortal
it?
Women, yeah. Well, how else do you get a hero if a god's not had it off with a mortal?
Yeah, to create a demigod like Heracles. Yeah.
So he thinks she's wonderful. They have children. 10 of them. 3 and 7.
Was one of them made of aurichalcum?
Oh, yeah, from the bottom up. So yeah, I mean, obviously gold's very important, so we're symbolizing the center, and if you've got a gold wall and a point in the center, that is the alchemical symbol for gold and the sun, and is one of the oldest symbols that we've got.
Yeah, right.
So that's telling you something as well. And another thing is that a circle within a circle, and that's what we've got. We've got a circle within a circle, and then we've got this circle it's called a circumpunct with a dot in the middle. Well, a circle in a circle is alchemical symbolic speech for having attained, well, what would you call it? The philosopher's stone. Or it depends what tradition you're in, you know. Mm. You've achieved enlightenment kind of thing. So that's something there. So they have 10 children. And I'm going to read you the names.
All right.
My notes. If you could just keep the mic warm for a moment.
Yeah. Did you make this drawing?
No.
No, you found it online.
I've got a gorgeous one on my sun card, though.
Like a really nice guard one. Houses there. We've got the citadel wall, which is the orichalcum. So it makes you think maybe that alloy had some sort of mechanical property for defense. I don't know.
Well, they were definitely saying that they had mechanisms and things like that, but nothing. I don't want anybody to think like futuristic stuff. You just gotta think, you know, like, you know, a pre-industrial high civilization, great at sailing and whatnot. Well, I've got a quote here from, it's a paraphrased quote from Manly P. Hall. He said, as I did with this Orphic tradition, that it's a descent of the superior into mortality. And we already talked about this infinite nothingness, this fiery realm, and then the seven planets, and that is basically being embodied. You got to think of them as resistors or seals that are sealing you in, resisting you from being the rest of the universe. And he says, the three rings are like the threefold nature of men, mind, body, and soul. You're always getting these, you know, numbers. The four is the four elements, fire, water, air, and earth.
Sure.
Which is the body. And I was just talking about the people's names, wasn't I? Right.
The ten daughters that Clayto and... offspring of Clayto and Poseidon.
So Clayto means renowned or famous.
Right.
In some other accounts, it's Uranos and Gaia. Uranos is like the sky, Gaia's the earth. It really means the principle of like infinity, infinitude, and like a condensation of materiality would be the best way to put it.
Right.
So, Clayto means renowned or famous. And sometimes her grandfather was... It's strange to call. But anyway, it says the grandfather was Elium, who you might know as El Elyon, which is like a Phoenician high god.
Well, El means god, generally.
Yeah, Saturn is a Saturnian god. And he was a king of Phoenicia from Byblos. The right wife of Baal Berut. It's all Canaanite stuff. So we mentioned before about the Phoenicians and things like that. The Phoenicians were this very ancient mariner, seafaring, pirate, drug dealing.
Very interesting in metals. Dealings.
Yeah.
You know, they were mining tin in Cornwall.
In Cornwall, yeah. So these 10 kids are divided into five pairs of twins. Straight away, I've gone 10. 10 from a Pythagorean. Because there's something called the Tetractys, which is a... Do you want to stick our faces back up?
Certainly.
There's a triangle of 10 spheres, which we know now as being Kabbalistic, or the Tree of Life, if you know that kind of stuff. But back then, it would have been the Tetractys, which is a triangle just made out of 1, then 2, then 3, then 4. Again, symbolizing these things that we've just been talking about, this descent into materiality. And then I looked at the etymology with the help of Dr. Ammon's student, who didn't want to be named. I have to name them. Excuse me. So, first of all, I looked up Atlas. So, obviously, we've got this guy that holds up the sky. The Atlas is in your spine. It's the seventh vertebrae from the neck, from the top.
That's what it's called today. That vertebrae is called the Atlas
vertebrae.
It's
been called the Atlas for a long time. It's near the neck.
Right.
Holding up the heavens.
Oh, gosh. Right. Of course.
So, also, what was very surprising, with the help of this student, was that Atlas is the word that Pythagoras gave for the number 10.
That's odd.
So he's got 10 sons. Atlas is the king. Atlas means 10. Now, in Hebrew, they have a process. So Hebrew comes from Phoenician. We've already been talking about the Phoenicians. This is where the original Kabbalah comes from. Hebrews substitute letters for numbers. Simple. They didn't have numbers, letters for numbers. The Greeks did it too, because the Greeks essentially took the Phoenician alphabet and made it wrong. It's called isopsophy. That's the first time I've ever said that, right?
So this is different from Gematria.
It's the same thing.
Right.
But it's just other... with Greek letters.
Oh, got you. Right. So Gematria would be Hebrew, Isophocles, or whatever you said is Greek. Is ancient Greece to numbers.
Is ancient Greek.
Greek characters, right.
So so when I did the isopsophy on that name, Atlas, it equals 10. The name means 10. There are 10 sons. Pythagoras is obsessed with 10.
Yep.
It means 10, and it adds up to 10. And the other thing that was really weird about it was, so I got to 10, or you could say 1, but it did equal 10 before it added 1. What you do is, it's called digital routing. So the actual number I got from it was 532. And I'm going, what 532? I'm expecting it to be 432. And now, all the way down, when I did the isopsophy on these names...
The names of the offspring.
The names of the offspring, they were just... And that's Tadja away from being these numbers, right?
They were so slightly off being harmonic.
One digit, and it didn't matter where the digit... So, like, that was at the beginning, that... what did we just say? 532. You'd expect it to be 432.
Yeah.
Well, the last one is... 488, and you'd expect it to be 288. The one before that is 217. You'd expect it to be 216. So there's a mystery there. So they're like all one digit off these really important numbers, all of them. And the other mad thing was, as I added them up, every one of them reduced digitally to one of the first 10 digits. So you've got 10, 6, the next one down is 9, there's 1, 3, 7, 4... The only one I got a repeat of was the number 10. But I figured, well, they want 1 as 10 and 1 as 1. Because when you add 1 to 0, you get 1. Digitally routing it. So there you go again. So between all those names, each one of them is eventually either reduces both to near as damn it, one of those Pythagorean numbers, and when you give it a digital route, it ends up in one of the first 10 numbers.
And it's a complete set.
It's a complete set. It's a complete set.
Do you know what order they were born in?
Well, they're given in an order, but that isn't the same order as the numbers. But I thought, flipping heck, to be able to achieve all the things that I've mentioned so far is a lot of thinking and a lot of working out, because you've also got to give it a name as well. And all these names mean something. So let's do that. So let's do that. So we said... Let's go. Just go for it. Do Atlas first.
So this is the names from the ancient Greek alphabet. You've
yeah. So I've gone with a Greek philologist.
Yeah.
The student of a very good Greek philologist who's so into the mysteries. He knows so much more than I do about the Greek part. He wouldn't know anything about the numbers. I think I've shown him before. The guy with he's got Medea written on the side of his head and crazy look in his eye. Yeah, Dr. Alan Hillman. I know his students are going to be watching. He's a mad bastard, but he's amazing. I love the guy. So, Atlas, the eldest king. Atlas lived in the central mountain and was king over the rest. Atlas can also mean kind of to uphold or support. So again, Atlas holding up the heavens. Or hard and enduring, referencing a mountain holding up the sky. Perseus, who's like...
Phrygian cat.
Yeah, very important to the mysteries, especially the Persian-style mysteries, is refused hospitality by Atlas, the Titan, and doesn't... Because Atlas guards his daughters, the Atlantides, also known as the Hesperides, who have a garden full of golden apples, which is the tree, you know, on the tree, the central axis tree again, with a snake. There was a big dragon snake, and he guards the apples. So Perseus turns him into a stone mountain, turns Atlas into a stone mountain because he doesn't want him to get rid of his apples. How can I put this? So... We'll get onto it in a minute, but one of the sons of Poseidon and Clytie is called White Horse, and there's lots of these dude on a white horse myths. White horse is a reference to, it's convoluted this. White horse is the white horse of the ocean, like sea foam, white horses. It's also a shamanic motif. You get on a white horse, i.e. a crazy shamanic potion, and you're going to go under the, you know, the white horse will take you to the underworld, which is under the ocean, but also you might get pulled off and drowned, hence going on a white horse. Well, Perseus, who we've just mentioned, he has a white horse, Pegasus.
Yep.
And he goes through a similar thing. And what does Perseus do when he's on his white horse? He does two things. He fights a Gorgon. Not a Gorgon. He fights the Kraken, whatever it is.
Kraken, yeah.
He's actually not called the Kraken, apart from in that Ray Harryhausen film. But you know what I mean when I say the Kraken.
The Leviathan thing.
Yeah, Ketus. And he also founds a city called Mycenae, which means mushroom. And how does he do that? Well, he lands on his white horse, sees a mushroom, picks it. Oh, it's amazing, this mushroom. This fountain comes from underneath. And he founds a city there called Mycenae, which means mushroom. So in Atlantis, there are two springs. In the center of Atlantis, there are two springs, a hot spring and a cold spring. These are getting at, you know, the waters of life. It's like in Dune, you know, the water of life. Well, it's all drugs references, boys and girls. You should have known this with the title Phil gave me. So there was your mushroom reference. Was Plato on mushrooms? He was on all sorts, mate. Sort you out with Plato. Knew a guy who knew a guy. So Atlas Daughters, Hesperides, obviously a star allegory. Pointing upwards straight away, that dragon Lardan that guards the golden apples is Draco around the tree of life, which is the pole.
Right.
Oh, it says here, in other myths, Heracles builds two great pillars to hold the sky away from the earth, liberating Atlas. So again, we're going up. And I'll add, we'll come back to these names in... Oh, no, let's finish off Atlas, and I'll tell you something Manly P. Hall said. Manly P. Hall. I got that off Phil. Over time, the Atlas Mountains in North Africa, Carthage, old Phoenician colonies, as Phil said, near the desert, were regarded as the pillars to heaven. And obviously, right next to that Rishat structure that Jimmy keeps harping on about. He loves that because he got to talk to Joe Rogan about it. Atlas is also a word used for the axis of the earth. Done. And that's it. So, Manly, what did Manly P. Hall say? So, Manly said that those three rings are the North Pole. The central ring would be the North Pole, the Arctic Circle. And then he said the next two, because he's looking up as well, he said the next two rings are the two limits of the sun, the Tropic of Cancer in the north and Capricorn in the south. It just makes sense. Cool, eh? You think it's just the path of the sun?
Oh, yeah.
I tend to think my idea is that, he didn't give any proof for that, by the way, but it makes sense. My idea is that there is actually... if you go into the sky again, you've got the North Pole star, and there's quite a few stars around that, like a little island of stars, Draco, Ursa Major, Ursa Minor. Then you've got another ring of immortal stars where Perseus is, and Andromeda, and a few of these characters. And then you've got the Band of the Zodiac.
The fixed, yeah, right.
So there's three rings of stars.
There's multiple interpretations
of
work here.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, something that might give it some verisimilitude for that is that Atlantis is said to tilt over and slip into the sea. Yeah. Well, at any one time, half the zodiac signs are in the sea. You can't see them. They're in the water, as it were.
Mm.
So let's carry on with these names. So you got Eumelos. Hey, I can read ancient Greek now.
Wow.
I don't know what the hell it means most of the time, but I can... Eumelos. Yeah, Eumelos.
Yeah.
Rich in sheep or goats. Is what it means. Oh, the good sheep or goat. The younger twin of Atlas lives to the extremity of the west, also called Gadeus. Gadeus, which is what you were saying
before. Cadiz.
Yeah. Another Eumelus sounds like he's another Phaeton. We'll get into Phaeton in a little while. Gadeirus might be a man of Cadiz, at the Straits of Gibraltar. This word relates to people of Cyrene on the other side of the Straits, which means wall. Cyrene was a city of ancient Libya, which was the same as Carthage, all North Africa. So, by the way, when I was looking up in the Orphic texts, rich in flocks is used as a reference for the people of the Saturnian Golden Age, which is this utopian age of Saturn. Well, this is a utopia, isn't it? By the end, it'll be a dystopia, but right now it's a utopia. The third son, Amphoe. See, I'm reading the Greek
here. Sounds like amphorae. That sounds like something that holds fluid.
Yes. Possibly a wine jar with a narrow neck, also a liquid measure. I'm faring.
Wow.
So now we're starting to get, what's in that then? What's in this liquid measure?
Cacheon.
Probably.
Ergot.
Right.
Be so, mysteries.
No, I love this one. excuse me, I'm reading ancient Greek here. Awamon. Awamon. Etymology. Nobody knows. But it's a town in ancient Arcadia, which is utopia. We were just saying utopia. Also, and I noticed this straight away, and so did the student. Ewa, which is where you get Eve from, but it's a bacchic cry. That's what these crazy bitches doing all the drugs, eating raw animals in the mountains, going, Ewa, Ewa. If you heard that as a man, if you were a bloke and you heard that, turn around and run as fast as you can because you're about to get torn apart by loads of crazy women, loads of bacchanites, the maenads, madness.
Where's this again?
I know, you kind of go, ooh, that sounds boring, doesn't it? Oh, they will do you to death. Well, they do you, and then kill you. So it's a big deal, like, if you do the shouting Awa, which is interesting where you get Eve from. Adam and Eve are all ancient Greek terms, it turned out. Adam's, like, the same root as adamantium with Wolverine. Adamantium means really hard, unbreakable. And Awa's a bacchic cry. The next one is Medeceus, remembering, like, memory. Paying attention, to give mind to give heed, recording, memory, care for, mention, memorial. Something to do with the moon. The moon's a bit of a memory, subconscious, timekeeping thing. Meme, all these kind of words. So let's just recap here, because I'm seeing this. So we've had this Atlas, the 10, the emanations down to the earth. Then suddenly we're getting this, a bottle of a potion or something. Then we're getting a bacchic cry. Now we're going concentrate. And now we've got autochthona. Oh, it's next to it that time. I'm struggling here.
Chthonic.
Chthonic. That's from the earth. Word. A native. It means a native. It means somebody from the, or somebody literally born straight from the earth. So we're just getting shamanic now. We're descending into the earth.
Cthulhu.
Well, that is. Yeah, Chthonic. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Well, go on, I'm going to try and read this. I can see it's written next to it, but I'll try and read it. Elasipon means horse riding nightly. Again, we got this horse riding idea, the white horse. He's like a driver to strike, to set into motion, to go. But because it's a white horse, it's got all these shamanic connotations. I will say as well, by the way, white horse is sea foam, which is mousse elon, which is the etymological root of mushroom, because they thought mushrooms grew from the same stuff as sea foam, right, like moss. Mm. It's actually got the same etymology as mucus and snot, and it's big. So now we've got Mester means advisor or counselor. So here's what I'm saying.
Meister.
Yeah, so we've gone... Yeah. We've gone through these bacchic bits, you know, this drinking. Now we're crying out like Bacchus. Then we've gone into, now we've been paying attention. Then we've gone into the earth. Then we're on this white horse. And now we're seeing an advisor.
Yeah.
Counselor, Mester, always also a Mycenaean, son of Perseus. So Mycenaean, Mycenae, this mushroom kingdom. Greek. Yeah. Perseus is the mushroom god, who is Mithras in the end. Supposed to be pre-Homeric from the Phoenicians. Related to Kronos. Saturn, again. Right.
Oh, I get creeped out when we talk about
Ryan, what
about
order
Kronos.
Is this journey in? Just thinking about that Gematria bit. You had a sequence, didn't you?
Well, I think there is a sequence going on here. Yeah, I'm feeling a sequence here. Well, again, if anyone can see any better, I literally spent half an hour thinking about this. Three hours just working it all out. I probably spent about 8 hours in total on the whole thing, including all the notes for my card, because that's what I was working on. I just figured that this would be a great thing for you guys as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, just send us the invoices.
And then the last one, number 10. Let's write this. Diaprepus means distinguished, magnificence, notable. So it's like a completion. You know, you've gone through a whole sequence of things yeah. and kind of come back. Oh, we missed one out. Azaeus, from the Greek leader, from a Scythian word. So again, if you know anything about the Scythians and the Greek mystery traditions, including the Medea stuff, it's that arrow poison of the Scythians that's the at the heart of the mysteries, the Christos, the reason why Jesus gets that name. Maybe we'll talk about that in the future. So, yeah, from those names, we get, as I said, 5, 5, 2, 6, 2, 1, 7, and 4, 8, 8. Just so close to being these Pythagorean ultra harmonic numbers. Very, very, very dodgy. So, I can stop looking in that for a moment. I'm sorry, guys. I normally do it all off the cuff, but. You know, that was a bit complex for me to remember.
Yeah, you can't remember all those ancient Greek names, crikey.
But what I can remember is the myth of Phaeton.
Oh, yeah.
So Plato talks about Phaeton just before he starts talking about Atlantis. And you're like, you can see why. So who's Phaeton? So Helios comes down and has it away with some... Bint. I don't know where she's from. I'm sure she's a lovely lady. And as gods are will to do, he buggers off. And this kid, as he grows up, goes to school. And it's tell what your father does for his living day. A bit like Kindergarten Cop. What is that? What is it? What does your father do for a living? You know that bit? What does he do? Put the cookie down. So Phaeton's at school and everyone's going, my daddy's a fireman. My daddy's a software engineer. And then this kid's like, I don't know what my dad does. So that night he's talking to his mom. Mom, who is my dad? I can't tell you, son. Honestly, I'm not quite sure myself. That's not true, Mum. Who's my dad? And after a bit of cajoling. All right, son. I've got to be honest with you. Your father is the sun. He's Helios. Helios? Are you joking? Yeah, your dad's Helios. I've got to go and find him. Where is he? He's up there. How do I get up there? I don't know. He came down here. So he goes, Mum, I'm probably old enough now. I'm going to go and find my dad. All right, son, you got to do what you got to do. So off he journeys through many lands, up many a mountain, and finally he gets to meet his dad. Dad, it's me, son. Oh, so it is. All right, son, how are you doing? You've grown up quite well, haven't you? How come you've not been around, Dad? I'm up there, son. I've got loads to do. You got to understand. No, fair enough. So, I'm your son.
Yeah.
You know your nice chariot?
Yeah.
Can I have a go in it? Suppose so. You know it's really scary up there, don't you? Oh, okay, Dad, it'll be fine. He's got no experience of anything in his life. Well, look, you know how you found your way here? He's like, yeah. Can you name all the landmarks? Well, yeah, there was here, there was there, there was everywhere. There's the pub on the corner. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there, it's not so much landmarks. It's more like monsters. There's a lion, a giant lion up there, and a bull that's horns will gouge your guts out. Oh, it'll be fine, Dad. It'll be fine. You promised me, Dad. Oh, go on, then. Go on, have a go. Just be quick. Blip, blip. Gets in it. 6 horsepower. It journeys off into the heavens, and then suddenly he's above the blue of the earth. And he can see the twinkling stars, and he passes Cancer, Gemini, Scorpio, Aquarius. And he's up there and he's like, oh, this is amazing. And then as he passes Scorpio, the claws of Scorpio, seeing its venomous sting, he starts bricking it and he loses control of his chariot. And it's said that it starts tearing across the night sky, lighting everything up. The moon sees it beneath its declination. Its declination means its angle in the sky. So the moon sees it pass beneath it, and that's impossible. They're both on the same ecliptic trajectory. And he's plummeting around, and he's going past the horns of Taurus, as his dad warned him, and everything's a mess. The whole Earth's on fire. Everything's gone to shit, and Jupiter's going, oh, my effing self. And he goes, we're going to have to stop this quickly. So he gets his thunderbolts and strikes him down out the sky. Phaeton comes plummeting towards the earth. And it's said that he ends up in the river Eridanus. Important note. And then his sisters, the Atlantides, the Hesperides, they're weeping. And then they put out all this fire with this flood of weeping. Yeah. Can you see Atlantis here, guys? The age is over. Having told this fantastic story in silly voices just like me, Plato then starts to talk about Atlantis, obviously saying that these two stories are the same. I think it's worth taking a moment to have a think about what other stories are like this. Icarus comes to mind. Icarus, who made his wings from wax and flew too close to the sun. The myth of Lucifer comes to mind.
Light bringer.
Yeah.
The morning star.
Things get a bit dodgy there because you're conflating quite a few things together. It's Catholic's fault, not ours. The morning star is obviously Venus. But and there's an idea in my head that there's still possibilities that this comet is Venus. And there's another thing. It's said that his Phaeton's hair was on fire. Well, a hair on fire is the literal meaning of a comet. A comet is like a comb for your hair.
Right.
So there's constellations called like Coma Berenices,
Coma Borealis.
Yeah, and Coma, yeah. That's Corona Borealis.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
That's the crown, I think.
Yeah, yeah, a crown. But you get Coma Berenices, which is Berenice's hair. And like I said, it's the root of comb. So what other myths are like that? Well, anytime you get, there's like the myth of Lemuria and other such things. Not that I'm very frequented with the myth of Lemuria. It's pretty much the same thing. Some antediluvian fire and flood. So we said about the comet. Randall Carlson loves his comet idea with it. I don't necessarily need that, but let's investigate that anyway. So is it... Well, there's a Greek philosopher with Roman philosopher with PH in his name. I forget his name. It's just, I want to say Porphyry, but that's not right. So
Philo?
Might be
Plotinus?
Philo. Plotinus? Oh, he's great, Phil, isn't he? Just keep whacking him out. We'll get there eventually. It doesn't matter anyway.
What's he say, though?
He says that, you know, the myth about Phaeton is clearly about, again, that word, the declination of the bodies in the heavens.
Right.
So if something's going underneath the moon, well, that's impossible, and it's not going to have been the sun. So it's a comet, and even this philosopher mentions that we're probably talking about a comet here. So It's always fire and flood. Every time. Well, those are the two extreme opposites, aren't they? But when you look at it, more often than not, when these things are illustrated, you'll see Leo on there, if it's Phaeton. Leo's the hottest month of the year.
Mm.
Opposite to that, and I know this from my other studies, whenever you get a flood myth, they're talking about some shamanic stuff to do with Aquarius. Well, Aquarius is on the opposite side to Leo. These things always come in pairs. So you've got the fire, the conflagration, and the flood. Both of these things are here. You're never going to get them both at the same time because they're on the opposite sides. But everything's tilted off and wonky, isn't it? Slips into the sea. So what else about Phaeton? That's about it.
So you're saying the comet, if it was a comet, it was traversing the sky between Leo and Aquarius?
If it was a comet, because it particularly says two things. Well, so he is, it's brilliant that he said that, because I would have missed this out. So he mentions between the horns of Taurus, and then he mentions near the sting of Scorpio. So first of all, you must say that Taurus is the source of the torrid meteor showers.
Yeah.
You know, it's even to this day, it's like, well, we get
twice a year. Yeah, we go through a shooting gallery.
Yeah, especially towards Halloween, which is
yes.
very much linked with the end and the beginning and the dead coming back. And again, speak to Randall Carlson about these things. Mm. So here's something that's really cool. There's something special if you're going to mention the horns of Taurus and the sting of Scorpio. Between Taurus and Gemini, between Scorpio and Sagittarius, is the band of the Milky Way, which you might well see like Phaeton's burned path through the sky.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing it. And that point between Gemini and Taurus and between Scorpio and Sagittarius are the places where they meet on the ecliptic. So the actual band of the planets meets the Milky Way on those two points. I've never heard this anywhere else. This is me. So, yes, again, something for people to really look into. That's very esoteric. That is how souls are incarnated and disincarnated. That's the path that they take. So he ends up in the river at Eridanus, again, which is right next to Orion, which is just underneath Taurus, which is in this same area. So it looks to me like he's gone around, starting at Taurus, hit Scorpio, shit his pants, and then steered off, burnt up the sky, up that path, looped around a little bit, and then plop, in the Eridanus. The Eridanus is said to be a path of souls as well, just like the Milky Way. And where Scorpio is, and Sagittarius's arrow, which is this oystrous arrow, this Scythian archer's poison, is pointing at the center of the galaxy, where the bright spot is. Literally, the heavenly realm, the golden gate of the gods. Very deeply esoteric secrets, these. And so, look, if he's prefacing Atlantis with this, if Atlantis was real, that's one consideration. What I can certainly say is a mystical treatise on the emanation of souls into incarnation, of energy into matter. Pretty wild stuff, eh?
It's crazy.
It's mental.
And to say that there's all these other myths related to it, including Noah's myth. Now, we can talk about this war between Atlantis and the Athenians. Mm-hmm. Mentioning that it's not literally the city of Athena, but people that lived where Athens is now. So the people of Atlantis, you could say they were like, you know, very highly evolved, very spiritual, pretty much psychic is what you start to get from this. And with the high technology and high thought and great trading, they did really well. Well, just like Phaeton, just like Icarus, hubris is a mother bitch.
This is a famous trope. I mean, people talk about this with ancient Rome. You know, they get so successful, they become decadent, loose morals, all these sorts of things.
We're living in Rome right now, I think.
Well, a lot of people make the argument with the United States, don't they?
because they're the cultural leader of the West. Where they go, we tend to follow.
Oh, yeah. And that, not long later. Yeah.
Yeah. People make the comparison between ancient Rome and the new Rome, which is would be centered in Washington.
Yep. DC. I forgot where I was going. Where was I going? Anybody know? Oh, yeah. We're talking about the end. War. Yeah. We're talking about the end, weren't we? So what happened? Well, these guys with a great navy went out to conquer all the rest of the Mediterranean. Or who knows where else? These notes are being taken from on the Mediterranean. So it said that the people of Athens did a great thing, that they summoned all the will and courage and fought off this great army of Atlantis who'd gotten far too big for the boots. And as Solon says, I think Solon is supposed to be like an Egyptian priest, isn't he?
Well, he's
like a Greek Egyptian.
He's the Greek guy. He was a politician and philosopher, and he did a lot of traveling. So he was Greek, but he was the story was related to him by the Egyptian priests
from this pillar. So it said that he did this great thing. The Athenians did this great thing and saved everybody, but the waters that came and swallowed up. The Atlanteans, water, one of the four elements, helped everybody. Unfortunately, the Athenians were swallowed up by the earth. The Athenian warriors were swallowed up by the earth. So we got two elements again there. So I've not really thought about it too much, but there's something else to consider there. Water tends to mean mind, environment, emotion. Earth is just physicality, cycles. What else is there to say on that? And that's essentially the end. And Plato's account trails off. He's like, starts talking about, oh, it all goes tits up. Doesn't really say much about flood. Doesn't really say much about fire. A little. And then it's over. And then it's like he trails off and goes for his dinner.
It's another one of those things that just ends mid-sentence, right?
Yeah, exactly. Implying that, like, oh, what's this? I need to finish this.
Yeah. Now, is this a case that, because, you know, most of the ancient Greek stuff was lost. It was only sort of by chance, really, that Christian monks who were copying bits here and there.
Giordano Bruno.
Yeah. Is that the reason why it trails off? I mean, you're suggesting that it's intentional.
Yeah.
You don't think it's just a case of, well, you know, that's the only account that we have that survived.
Well, it carries on, and it looks to me like the rest of it, of Critias, is talking about geometry and similar things.
Right.
And Plato's number, Plato has a number associated with him, is 50-40, which is one of these harmonic numbers, and is actually like the most harmonic number.
Why is that?
In small numbers.
Why is that associated with him?
50-40, he's always going on about it in... what's the text where he's basically city building in it? My brain's so filled up. Which one is it? This is his most famous work. Phil's probably got it on his wall, yeah.
Oh, these are all just painted on.
Yeah, it's just wallpaper. They're not real books. Yeah. I'll find it out. Oh, here we are. Republic! For fuck's sake, yeah. I didn't even have to open it. Plato's Republic, for fuck's sake.
Do you know what Plato's real name is? I didn't know it till the other day.
Wrestler?
No, his real name.
Yeah, no, but I can't remember.
Aristocles.
Yeah, Plato was his nickname because he was such a buff wrestler.
He was broad.
He was a fucking kick-ass wrestler.
And sometimes when he got into arguments with people, he'd just stand up and flex his muscles and he'd shut up. Basically, Plato was Mr. T.
He was a base Sigma Chad.
Base Sigma Chad.
Base Sigma Chad. Yeah. Yeah, Plato means broad-shouldered. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wrestler. He was a champion wrestler. Where were we?
The end.
Well, you're going on about the Republic, about the city building.
Yeah, 50-40.
50-40, that's what
he loves these numbers.
He loves the numbers.
And 50-40 is a small enough number, but is super harmonic. You know, there are much more harmonic numbers than that, but they're too big to bother with. You know, you don't want 6,951,000. You know what I mean? Isn't it? I can't deal with that. 50-40 is enough. I mean, it's so big, I can't even be bothered saying 5,040. I just go straight for 50-40. But again, 54, 5 and 4 is 9. Whenever you're playing with these numbers, they always reduce to 9. And it's amazing. What else do I have to say? Shall I have a look at my notes?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Oh, we had slides. Did we have any more slides to
I
look at?
I think they're all maps. Have a look.
Let's go to... I'm on the wrong page here. Let's go to this one. So we've had this map here. We've two more slides left. Oh, here's the sort of Mauritania idea. This is the recap structure. The Eye of the Sahara is going to be over here somewhere, sort of the left of that image.
Oh, this is an interesting quote. This is Manly P. Hall again. Atlanteans started the first war. All other wars were to justify that first.
Gosh, that's isn't that mystic, deep? Isn't it?
Yeah, that's great, that.
It's very mystical, that. And creepy.
Creepy, yeah.
It was Manly P. Hall who, I don't know what his source was, but he said that Plato was an initiate of the higher mysteries in Egypt and that he was initiated in a subterranean chamber at the Great Pyramid.
Wow.
Cool. Wouldn't surprise me.
No, it wouldn't surprise me.
Pythagoras was definitely at it. He was off with the Babylonians, the Egyptians, anyone that would give it to him. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Proclus says the point in the story is the conflagration. We're talking about Phaeton. If Phaeton was a comet... Oh, Porphyry.
Porphyry?
Yeah. Porphyry says that certain signs may be assumed from the motion of comets. So he's talking about fortune telling, basically. The occultists have always had it that the cataclysms are lined up with the long count calendar. Randall Carlson, again... He always cites, Leo and Aquarius as being the main places where the cataclysms seem to happen, and we are headed right for Aquarius right now. Probably got about 100-ish years before we really start getting to Aquarius, 150 years. So right near the
age of Aquarius.
Yeah.
Right, because we're talking about the long count, the 26,000-year rough cycle. Yeah. We talk about the age of Pisces, the age of Aquarius, the age of Taurus, and we're sort of cusping now, aren't we, onto the age of Aquarius.
Edgy, mate, right on the edge.
And, these guys seem to think that, again, that site, like halfway through that cycle, 12,000 years, every 12,000 years or so is when we seem to get bopped.
Bopped on the noggin.
In different ways, whether it be comet strikes or what was the one beginning with Le Champ events and all sorts of stuff that seemed to happen periodically.
It just popped in my mind that the Perseus and there was a few references to the Phoenicians and the Persians in that. Well, the Persian religion of Zoroaster, which would have been around at that time, has many references to a conflagration and is the point of the Mithraic tradition as well, this conflagration in Leo. Again, they're always Leo because that's the hottest part of the year. So it's like this, there's a definite... If it was ever real, there's been a mythologizing of it, or possibly the myths have come as a result of it. Who knows? So let's talk for a minute about the end. So what happens after Atlantis? What happens to Noah after the flood? Well, he rocks up on Mount Ararat. What's next to Mount Ararat about 10,000 years ago? What's in Turkey?
Ararat's in Göbekli Tepe.
And I'll tell you, even though nobody else talks about it because nobody else is Ryan fucking Seven. I jest. That on those pillars at Göbekli Tepe are encoded these numbers. There's a pattern, a hidden occult pattern by which things are drawn. And that's on those pillars. And that signifies these numbers. And as well as the size of the Earth and the size of the Moon. We mentioned 216 before. 216 is the Earth in nautical miles, 216,000 or whatever it is. The radius of the Earth, the radius of the Moon, the interior angles of a cube. The amount of pubic hairs on your left testicle, it's just all over. It's as above, so below this stuff. It'll be something like blinks in an hour or something like that.
Oh, so a lot of these numbers, the as above, so below, they relate to us. So like breaths, heartbeats.
Yeah.
On average, obviously, we're talking about ideals.
Yeah.
So like Plato talked about the world of forms.
Well, it goes further than that. Like, thing is, there's
how many bones in the human body?
Amount of distance travelled by light in one Earth day is 25,920.
Which is a long count.
Calendar. You know, it goes to everything. Sorry, what were you saying then, dude?
Just bones in the human body. I think it's 207 or something.
Is it?
But then...
But what?
206.
I bet there's 10 more somewhere.
Well, I was thinking when you're born, your skull is in multiple pieces.
Four parts, yeah.
So that's like an extra, I guess.
We got four there. We only need another six. What about your ear bone?
300 at birth. Right. About.
Do you think the soul killed cool babies?
10? Sorry, love?
How many age 10 or age 9 or some other...
Yeah, but what are you counting as a bone? Is it a boy or a girl? I'm taking it low, guys. I've taken you up with Pythagoras and Plato. Now I'm bringing it back down again.
270.
A bit of chubby brown. Well, 27 adds up to 9. 126 adds up to 9.
Yeah.
There's 180 on there. 8 and 1 adds up to 9. there's lots of things that you could call, you know, for conjectures. What, is that really gristle? Is it a bone? 300 seems an awfully round number as well.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we've been on two websites and we've had a 30 bone sweep.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure, you could figure it out. But yeah, look, guys, you know, what have we covered here? Wait a minute. We were somewhere else then. We were at the end. Oh, yeah. Mount Ararat. We've rocked up at Mount Ararat.
Oh, yeah.
And I could tell you something quickly about the Noah flood thing. Look, it's zodiacal. We've definitely come from. We've gone through like Pisces and Aquarius, and we rock up on the Mountain Goats area, which is Capricorn. So we're on Mount Ararat. How has he got there? Well, he uses a blackbird and a dove, doesn't he? A crow and a dove to find his way. And look, you can find this story in the Epic of Gilgamesh. What's the guy's name? What's his name?
Utnapishtim.
Utnapishtim. Wicked. Well, that's why, yeah, he's good, that fella.
Enkidu.
Yeah, it's Enkidu that messes about. Well, he tells him the good stuff. Anyway, so he's in a vessel. I can tell you, like, up in the sky, Utnapishtim is Aries. Pegasus is a square, and that's clearly the arc. And directly across from Pegasus is Argo, which is means arc.
Argonauts,
yeah.
The Argo.
And look, it's all this flood stuff. It's always up in the sky. And when he's about to rock up on land, the way he finds out is through a crow and a dove. Well, there is a vessel, a crow and a dove, on a snake up there on Hydra. And you can see where everything's positioned. Oh, it's telling the story of the stars.
Sorry, say that again. About
Hydra, there's a snake called Hydra.
Yeah, so, constellation.
A constellation. Sorry, guys. so it looks like it just kind of sits on its belly there.
Yeah.
And then on its back, there's something called Crater, which is like the Holy Grail, which is full of drugs, full of unmixed wine. And then you've got Corvix, the crow, and then a dove on the end of it.
Right, right.
So, and then nearby, you've got Pegasus, and all these things are just explained, and it's clearly explained.
Astrotheology.
Yes, astrotheology.
Okay.
Well, you can say astrotheology. But I think too many people get mixed up that back then, look, art, science, technology, astrology, astronomy, everything, it was all the same thing.
Mm. Trivium and quadrivium.
Quadrivium, yeah. So they've rocked up on Mount Ararat. What happens next? Well, Noah has three sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Something like that.
Japheth. I think.
Geppetto? Oh, it might be. Might be a thing. One dude's whitey, another dude's Asians, and then the Egyptians. East Asians, not Chinese and Japanese guys. Just the...
We don't count them.
Yeah, just our local Asians. Yep. and then the Egyptians. And these are his three sons. There you go. And then from there you get like the world is replenished. So you're constantly getting these origin myths all the time. All the time. Everything's an origin of this, origin of that. But that's interesting because that might be semi-historical. Maybe they did rock up around that area. Certainly, it looks like civilization starts that. And as I keep saying...
Or is rebooted.
Has rebooted there. That. As I keep saying, this stuff, this secret science of the magicians is the capability to restart civilization. That's exactly what it is.
That's when you. Well, that's what's in your ancient man bag.
Yes,
you think that Oannes would have had, and all these other characters.
Multiple things. That handbag's always drawn to that pattern. In the handbag, it's really a bucket. It's called a bandadu bucket, and it's full of sacred water. What's sacred water? We've already said it's drugs. What is also it? Well, it's kind of your semen. They always hold it at the
groin.
Yeah, groin level. Well, it's full of water and pollen, the pollinating fig trees. Fig trees can only be pollinated by the hand or by a parasitic wasp. So more often than not, to guarantee it, they're doing it by hand. This, again, is an allegory for taking your sexual fluids and pollinating yourself. They're doing it with a pine cone at the level of the pineal gland. You know, it's this ancient kundalini stuff. What they're really doing is subverting sexual feelings into something else. Sexual alchemy, we call it now. We should actually do a full episode on that one time, just that, and like a practical how to do it yourself.
I thought you were going to say demonstration. That crack, we'll get banned. We can't pull that on them.
We could just get really close to the camera and do it with our eyes and a big grin.
Yeah, that sort of plays into Tantra, and it's this sort of... it's like edging and then using that energy in a different way.
Yes.
Channeling it in a different way.
That's what there are many methods around it. It might just be simple like, oh, she's really sexy. Then you feel that little gush that you get, you know, and then you go, I don't mean it like that. I mean a gush of chemicals. That was a good way of putting it, I thought. He's a little boy, that one. Stuff I've been saying tonight.
Sweet child.
So you take that little rush that you get, a little gush of chemicals, and then you could go, I'll go and hide away for 5 minutes and enjoy myself. No, you go and do 20 press-ups, you go and jog up a mountain, you just take that little ooh that you get and you just subvert it into something else. You sublimate into an entirely different thing. And you can take it much further than that. And it looks like if there is a woo-woo magic, that is the way you get a charge to do it. It feels that way for me, but it's not very scientific, is it?
We should definitely do that in a few months, once we've had a break, you know.
Yeah.
We should come back and we should do this.
Are you having a break?
A break. No, I mean...
Having a break or you're having a break?
No, I mean, like, we can't have you come every week, Ryan. What I mean is, like, leave it for a bit, and then, that's what I was saying. Then come back and do as well on sexual
alchemy.
Force alchemy. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
I think that'd be good.
Yeah, I think that would be a good one. It'd be a bit lurid. I'll give you a trigger warning now.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'll be delicate at the beginning, then halfway through sentence, I just abandon ship and start swearing.
Unbesmegging-leavable.
For fuck's sake.
Is there, because we've done over an hour and a half now.
No, I'm there, mate.
Is there anything that
climaxed?
Yeah.
Anything right on top of Mount Ararat.
Regarding Atlantis that we've missed, that you wanted to get off your chest? Or do you think we've pretty much covered?
I guarantee we on the drive home, there'll be something that pops in my head, but that's always the way, isn't it?
I mean, we haven't answered the question, really, was Plato on mushrooms?
Well, if the White Horse Perseus connection's anything to go by, and the fact that one of the people was called Ewa, the old Bacchic cry, yes. And look, philosophers in those days and statesmen, they get a tent, fill it full of burnt offerings, i.e. cannabis, frankincense, myrrh, many other things, the purple shellfish, all sorts of stuff, and get off their head while they're getting drunk on unmixed wine, which would have had all kinds. They were on all sorts. They get off their head, argue it out, think it all out, have a great time, and if they woke up the day after and still agreed what they'd said the day before when they were drunk, is true and valid, then they'd put it into law. Otherwise...
Back again.
Yeah, back again.
Yeah.
Back in the tent, guys. Hitting himself with branches like that.
Well, this has been fab, Ryan.
It's yeah,
been
good, cheers. Yeah.
I've enjoyed this.
I didn't think it would go so smoothly, to be honest. I've had a head full of filming today. Did I say I've been Pythagoras and Jesus today?
Oh, filming?
Yeah, I was out filming.
For your YouTube channel?
For my Netflix, upcoming Netflix one.
Oh!
I was, because there's a story about Pythagoras and Jesus, there's the same story. They both go and count 153 fish. I'll not tell you why. Oh, it says 153 there. So...
It's 9:53.
21:53. So... Yeah, I had to be both Jesus and Pythagoras, and the difference in costume was when I was Pythagoras, I had a pie in my hand, and when I was Jesus, because it's Jesus resurrecting, I was zombie Jesus. I was literally zombified.
Oh my
god! There's one just because I like to make it up as I go along. I was talking to Peter, who'd just seen me for the first time. I'm like, mate, you wouldn't believe without they had me like that. Fucking stabbed in the side there. 3 days later, mate, I'm coming out like this.
Right.
Oh, brilliant.
Such a heretic.
Yeah.
Honestly. Well, we should sign off.
We should.
We should. We need to do some housekeeping and some headlines, part two.
Ooh, it was fun that last time.
Yeah. You can stick around if you want, mate, or you I'd get love yourself to. Away.
I've had such, like I said, I've been out filming all day.
You need
the only reason I've got any energy at all is because of the edging. It's funny because it's true.
Well, if you want to follow up with Ryan's stuff, you can check his YouTube channel out or friend him on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come back. We'll reconvene in a few months and do some sex magic.
Oh, yeah. That'd be magic.
And those of you on YouTube watching live, we'll be back in 5 minutes or so for part two. Do some headlines and some housekeeping very briefly. Well, not very, well, mid.
Mid-briefs.
Mid-briefs, yeah. All right, thanks for watching. See you soon.
Bye. Bye for now.
Bye. Here we are.
Are we live? I'm hoping we're live.
And we're back.
That's how I felt this morning.
Oh, God. That's how like the back of my thighs feel.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. It migrates around the body, this hangover. I don't know what's going on.
We weren't dancing, were we, last night?
No, I don't know what it was.
No. Oh, well, welcome back.
Oh, my God!
The dwarf, the cripple, and the
mother of mindfulness.
If you just joined us, we've just had a chat with Ryan Seven.
Always good to have him on.
Yeah, yeah.
Regular.
Gosh, yeah, he's done more podcasts with us than anyone else. Yeah, definitely.
Prolific guest.
Definitely. He's head and shoulders above as far as returning guests. So,
yeah.
Hope you enjoyed that and maybe learned something about Atlantis. I certainly did.
Yeah. Yeah, Greek and, lads.
Great bunch of lads.
Great bunch of Greek lads.
Great bunch of Greek lads, anyway. Yeah. So, link in the show notes for Ryan's channel if you want to. Brother Bone. Oh, no, he is Ryan Seven, I think, on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Brother Bones is the other thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Can't remember. But, yeah, good. Right. Let's rattle through some headlines, I think.
Not much going on this week, surely.
No, just one.
Capital letters, a big news story. Headlines of the week.
Mystery 10-foot monolith appears out of nowhere and no one knows why.
Is this in Wales, in Powys?
It is, yeah. Walkers have been baffled by a mystery steel monolith. I mean, that's an oxymoron, right? Steel monolith.
Why?
Because a monolith. Lith is stone.
Oh, lith is stone, right.
Okay, mono is one. Yeah, there's no such thing as a steel monolith.
It's a mono...
Monometal. Monometal. It appeared on a hill in Heon Wye in Wales. Locals in the Powys town spotted the block of steel, which is shaped like a giant Toblerone, on Hay Bluff over the weekend. But it's not the only mystery monolith. The string of sightings were reported in rural areas across Europe in 2020. Do you remember this?
I do remember this, yeah. Yeah. I think they decided it was some arty types doing an arty type installation type thing.
Was it Neil Buchanan?
I think it was. It was an arty tag.
Arsach.
This is steel monoliths.
Yeah, they were found on the Isle of Wight at the Merry Maiden Stone Circle in Cornwall. Richard Haynes, who took photographs of the latest sighting while running on Hay Bluff, told Wales Online, "I went off towards Hay Bluff, towards where the trick point is, and I looked over to my right. I thought it looked a bit bizarre and might be a scientific media research thing collecting rainwater."
Okay.
Weird flex. I mean, well, I don't know why you'd think that.
That's strange.
But then I realised it was way too tall and strange for that. Then I went up to it, and it was about 10 foot tall, at least, and triangular. Definitely stainless steel. Stainless steel, he reckons. Oh. That'd be quite heavy. Stainless steel's pretty heavy.
And it must be quite a way in the ground for it to stick up. It's got to have some depth to it.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Yeah, if it's 10 foot high, you would think maybe at 4 feet in the ground, you would
I'd
hope?
I'd like to see where it enters the earth. If there's any ground disturbances. Because if you were putting it there, like if I was putting it there, I'd make a right hash of it. It'd be all over the place and wonky. But there must be, you can't just kind of, you can't land it unless it fell from the sky.
like an Arthur C. Clarke style.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to go and stroke it.
Yeah.
And become awakened beings.
I wonder what note it chimes out when you hit it with a... Oh, God.
It's a conflagration. It's a doom. It's a doom bell. It was hollow and I imagine pretty light. Light enough for two people to carry it up and plant it in the ground. Richard said he runs the route often and had never seen the monolith before. And a friend who had been near the spot 2 weeks ago said it wasn't there then. So it's definitely appeared recently. Richard added, "I did notice on Google that it's popped up very recently. And what I can gather, it disappeared after a couple of days."
Oh, so it's not there anymore?
I don't know. I thought it was.
Ah, it's a tourist attraction.
Yeah. The latest monolith to pop has led some to believe it was the work of aliens.
Oh, of course. It's always some whack job.
For fuck's sake. Yeah. Why?
Why? Yeah, exactly. Why?
Why? Why would aliens drop it?
Just taking a piss. Maybe. Collect rainwater. Maybe.
Yeah. The alien scientific media research thing. Yeah, so it sparked questions. Some people are saying it could be like a Banksy thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. They've been all over Romania, Utah, all over the place over the last sort of 4 years. 2020 was a hot year for steel monoliths, monometals.
Is that the same year that the Georgie Guidestone got blown up?
Oh, good shout. I think that was later.
Right.
I might be wrong. I seem to think that was maybe a year, 18 months ago.
Right. Okay.
But I don't know. We did cover it. I'm sure we did when it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone blew it up, didn't they?
Maniacs.
No, may you, maniacs! Yeah, good on him. Good on him for blowing it up. We don't need these,
stones telling us what to do.
Yeah, these depop fascists. Keep the population to 200 million. Fuck off, who are you? Well, start with yourself, you numpty. Honestly.
Mic drop.
Oh, yeah. Right, that's it. We'll just do one headline. Let's see what's coming next.
First on BBC One.
Scary moments for customers at a Kansas Home Depot. Police responded to reports of a bomb threat at the store in Wichita. A customer alerted employees. A man inside the bathroom said there was a bomb in the building.
Talk about blowing things up. This is apropos, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Police able to locate the man responsible for those comments, and that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but had no intention of causing a panic. Man also told police others in the room laughed, understanding his joke, which I'm just now getting. Home Depot says they will not be pressing charges. But I can tell you right now, you asked the producer for me to read that, didn't you?
Housekeeping! Housekeeping!
Don't go to Home Depot and saying you're fixing to blow up the bathroom.
No.
This is a Value for Value podcast. If you find this podcast valuable, please consider returning some value! This is a myriad of ways of doing this. My favourite way as ever is word of mouth. Maybe you're on, you're in Telegram groups or, I don't know, Facebook Messenger groups or Discord servers. Wherever you are online, if you can share some links, that'll help us get the word out and get this information out to more people.
Yep.
It's a good thing.
You can join our newsletter distribution group. We have to do that manually. So if you email us, at thearmishinquisition@gmail.com, we will hook you up with a monthly Rumspringer newsletter that has all kinds of mad stuff, little sneak peeks of future guests coming on, odds and ends.
Memes.
All good, really.
You should get some good memes and jokes in there.
Memes and jokes.
Always a deliberate error.
Yeah, crossword, cartoon. No.
No.
TV guide.
You get if you sign up for the newsletter, you get the coupon code for the merch store
you
as well.
Do get that's 10% a good off. Link.
Yeah, I've got some merch here. Ooh, you are the carbon they want to reduce.
Boom.
That's the latest design. Bacon nuts. We mentioned Francis Bacon because he was the author of The New Atlantis, famously. Yeah. 3 weeks to flatten the earth. That's my favourite from Lee. Literally a communist. It's all there. You get something to keep, and we get a little slice of the proceeds.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we thank you for it.
Like merch.
Leave us a review on your chosen podcast platform, and if we can spot it, we will read it out on air and give you a shout-out. Please let us know if you're leaving a review, because we don't have the resources to be able to scan the metaverse.
Well, there's that many podcast apps out there now.
So many.
And you can leave, like if you use Podcast Addict, like I do, you can leave a review on there. But there's no way for that to get through to the actual podcast in question.
No.
So if you want it read out, forward it to us, because we only get to see iTunes ones, I think.
Yeah, maybe Spotify as well.
I don't know. It is what it is. Just leave us a fucking review. Yeah, that's all we're saying, you know.
Yeah, leave us a nice comment on YouTube or, subscribe, like, hit the bell, smash the...
Super chats. You can give us super chats now. All helps Al Gore. Keeps
Al
him happy.
With Mick.
Hopefully helps to push this out to people. I mean, if it would be pushed out to the people who already subscribed to us, that would be a start.
It would.
But you know what YouTube are like. Hey, you don't have to watch us on here. We're on multiple video platforms now, the streaming platforms.
What are we on, Phil? Rumble?
Oh, my gosh. Live streaming now. We're on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Instagram, Rumble, Trovo, DLive, Kick. Odyssey, I think, should be working now. I think we should be live streaming on Odyssey, but it's janky, and I think maybe only part one goes out on some of these platforms, not part two.
We're heading to a situation where you walk past a Currys or other electrical retailer in your locale, and the TVs in the window are actually showing the podcast. that's what we're going for.
It's funny how many people watch on TV, you know.
It is. I was amazed and touched. Yeah.
It's about a third of people watch on TV.
Yeah, it's good. Coming in your living rooms.
Coming in your ears.
Join the Element server. That's where the action is. It's where we all hang out and post shit when we're out drunk on...
Yeah, that was in advice, wasn't it? Sending pictures and videos of us on the lash into the Element server last night.
Yeah, you've peeked behind the curtain there a little bit. beyond the candelabra now. Like.
Yeah, that's the alternative. We have to Discord after that got nuked. So you can send us video clips and news articles and stuff. We love getting them as material to use in part two. Guest suggestions. There's loads of ways you can help us in the Element server and become a producer.
You can send artwork.
That's, yeah.
We very much appreciate that.
Yeah, we have new artwork for iTunes and Spotify every week, and you can send us submissions in the Element server or email us at thearmistinquisition@gmail.com. And we've two submissions this week. This is the first one from Helen. Was Plato on shrooms?
Nice.
3, 2, 1.
A gnome. In classic gnome garb as well.
Yeah, I should say, so if you're in the Element server, you'll know like nearly a week in advance who the next guest is going to be, so it gives you a few days to knock something out. And this one's from Lee from the Big Conspire.
Oh, he's got the same guy.
It's Plato. Plato.
He's nice not wearing a hat in that one.
Ryan Seven serves a plate of mushrooms.
All right, nice.
What do you think? What are you feeling?
Plato mushrooms. I quite like that.
You like Lee's on the right?
I don't know. I like gnomes and they fly agaric mushrooms.
Yeah, I think they will be. Yeah, yeah. It's the old Mario mushroom. I think Helen's is more colourful, isn't it?
It is.
But Ryan's, Lee's, he actually has Plato. It actually looks like Plato.
It does.
With his broad shoulders.
I think they're both.
I don't know. Let us know in the chat who you think should win. And we'll use that for the artwork when this is published tomorrow. I can't really pick between them. I like them both equally.
No, they're good.
But yeah, this is another way you can become a producer. You get producer credit in the show notes for supplying us artwork or whatever. I think that's all. Is that all the housekeeping done?
Send us news articles. That always helps. But timestamp them if they're long. And just get involved. It's always nice to hear from you and let us know how you are.
Yep, this is the value for value proposition. We put everything out up front for free, no stinky paywalls or Patreon exclusives or corporate sponsorship deals or anything like that. No. So if you can return some value in any of these ways that we've mentioned, please do so. And if you're in the position to, financially, monetarily, you can always toss us a coin.
Toss a coin to your witcher.
Do it for the lads.
Lads.
If you go to thearmistinquisition.com, you'll find a PayPal button there if you like PayPal. You can give us a one-off donation or a monthly recurring sustaining donation. You can buy us a coffee. Buy us a coffee page. And we got some coffee from Alia this week. So thanks for that, Alia.
Yeah, I had a flat white.
Did you? I had a frappuccino.
All right, nice. Fancy.
Yeah. And Cash App is a new thing as well. So if you don't like PayPal, which I know a lot of you don't, there's a Cash App handle, a cash tag. Cash in the show notes or a direct link, and you can send us a couple of quid on Cash App if you feel like it. If you can know of any other ways of transferring funds like this that you'd like to see implemented, let us know, and I'll do my best to get it sorted. Right, I think we better thank the producers then, aren't we? First, episode 321, a special number.
They're all special.
They are, but we need to thank the producers. Who have we got? Oh, Danny G.
Willie G. Chungus never seems so sus. So sus. He vents to electrical.
Yeah, we've got Danny G, Emma Bridges, Alia for keeping us caffeinated. We've got the two artists for this week, Helen and Lee from The Big Conspire. And I think that's everyone. So thanks. Thank you for your amazing love.
They are. Yeah. So amazing in their love
and literally the best mate.
The dwarf, the
current,
the great,
the stupid little pig,
the doctor of thugonomics,
the homophobe,
the wind,
the giant fucking lenses,
the solipsistic porn masturbator,
the chest feeding
communist,
the ninja turtle, yo.
Based Sigma Chad.
The corn pop chunks.
The baby penis.
Inner asshole.
These clockwork clowns.
The dime bar.
The number 11.
The vegan.
On the bus.
The blind man.
The massive
Girth.
Big Chungus.
The cripple and the mother of...
Money bickering!
From hell.
It's shit day! We're on...
I don't get it, never will.
Are you retarded?
I think the only person who's voted in the chat for the artwork is Helen.
Oh,
so
right.
For herself. So I think it's going to be Helen's.
Oh, look, we got a second note. Oh, sorry. Second note, gnome.
Yeah, that was Helen's, the gnome one, wasn't it?
Soviet Union survivor.
Oh, sorry, Soviet Union survivor. I vote for the psychonaut gnome, hands down. Okay, we'll go with that then.
There we go.
Hard lines, Lee. Better look next week. Helen and Lee are very good with the artwork. I think they're our most prolific artists, so appreciate your efforts very much so. Right, good. That's all the housekeeping done in rapid form. We're only 20 minutes in.
Snappy. It's because Matt's not here slowing us down.
Tell me about it. Oh, fucking painful, isn't he? It's like...
He's a solipsistic porn master.
He's the weakest link.
In sport, the US-born tennis player who in the 1990s won all four Grand Slams and an Olympic gold medal is Andre who?
The giant.
I just said who.
Yes.
No, I don't think so. Have you seen this Saudi AI robot?
No.
No, controversial. The Saudis built this AI robot and it's a bit handsy.
Oh, really?
What's all that about?
I don't know. That's strange.
Excuse me?
Oh. It's not a robot. It's just a very slow moving.
A slow
person.
Perv?
Yeah.
Just a slow perv.
Just a slow perv. A lazy
perv. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's a very good robot, to be fair.
No.
I'm not scared of it.
It's not like a DARPA dog.
They're terrifying, aren't they?
They are.
I mean, they're totally out of Black Mirror.
They are, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Is that predictive programming? A Black Mirror episode?
Possibly.
I've not watched the latest season.
I think it was a while ago. Yeah. I think the next one's coming out in 2025, so.
The last thing I watched of them was the Bandersnatch thing, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That choose your own adventure type thing.
Yeah, that was all right.
Yeah, well, it was innovative, I suppose, wasn't it?
Yeah,
pushing the envelope.
Got us involved.
Yeah. We'll skip Keith Starlin. I don't want to talk about Keir Starmer. Keir Starmer! We'll skip him. He was being interviewed on Lorraine Kelly, and he was weird. He was talking about his mum and the trials his mum had had, and... The inspiration, the trials that his mum had gone through and the inspiration he derived from it. And it's like...
Well, it was Mother's Day, wasn't it?
Last Sunday? I don't know. I thought Lorraine's on during the week, I think, isn't it? I don't think it's on Sunday. But I don't know. It just seemed strange for a 61-year-old bloke to be... The language he used was strange. Let's fuck it off. Let's go back to the weakest link.
Helen, in geology, the White Cliffs of Dover are principally formed of what substance? Chalk or cheese?
Cheese.
Chalk. Adam.
Oh, wow. Oh, Helen Flanagan, isn't it?
It was, I think.
Yes, yeah. I remember the Sun newspaper, I think probably as soon as she turned 18, gave away a free jiggling boobs Rosie calendar. She played Rosie in Coronation Street.
Oh, she was in I thought she was in Hollyoaks. Yeah. I thought she was from Hollyoaks.
How are you thinking of that one? Yeah, no, it's, that was a bit weird back then.
Oh, they used to do all sorts of that. Didn't they do the same thing with Jordan?
Is it like a countdown or something?
It's disgraceful, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a mess. turns out she's not very good at quizzes.
I thought we hadn't done end of show ISOs, man.
Are we not?
We forgot, after the housekeeping. Sorry. We've got two this week. These are the clips that we end the show with. What's the first one? Thank you for watching.
Thank you to all of you watching and listening.
That's croaky, man. Your man.
12 rules!
That's the guy.
12 rules for life.
Yes.
Hey, bucko.
Oh boy!
Oh boy! Oh boy! No, it's Kermit. Softer, it's not
more
Mickey.
It's Kermit than Mickey.
It's
yeah.
Kermit.
Yeah. Mm.
12 rules for life. Tidy your room. Hey, tidy your room, bucko.
That's it. That's him.
Yeah.
Thank you to all of you watching and listening.
Jordan B. Peterson.
Michael B. Jordan B. That's Peterson. That's the first one, and tuning in.
We will see you next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, I like the way he says tuning in.
See Yorkshire. See, it's Dom from Sheep Farm.
We will see you next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, of course it is.
It's a bit
yeah.
low. The volume's a bit low on it for some reason.
We will see you next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Or
thank you to all of you watching and listening.
I don't know. Which do you like?
Oh. Let's go with Michael B. Jordan B. Peterson.
You want to go for that? I want this one.
We will see you next time. Thanks for tuning in.
All right. Well, we're split. Chat will have to tell us. Just put Jordan or Dom in the chat, and we'll use that for yeah. the end of show ISO.
I am so fucking tired of doing podcasts.
Oh, gosh. Wow. 3, 2, 1.
Dusty Ben.
321.
Mental that. 7 years.
2017?
Yeah. Don't know.
2017 it started.
Yeah. When I remember the spiders.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
We were against this wall, I think.
There was some old kitchen units that had ripped out the house, weren't there? And a bit of manky old worktop. And we used to do it by candlelight.
We did.
We used to do this podcast by candlelight.
Esoteric from episode one.
And then once I got Han and Carbonite, it all changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Was
Han the first?
He was the first part of the master plan. Do you not remember revealing yes. Han? I had it stuck there with a sheet over it
yeah.
when you walked in. And I pulled the sheet.
Amazing.
I said I'd made an unplanned purchase. And I revealed Han in all his glory.
I wonder if you can get like custom ones with our faces on.
Gosh.
That'd be horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, Dom Shill, Mike, Jordan, Dom. So let's pull the chat up quick.
Oh, hey.
Sam.
Dom. It's Dom in it.
But Dom, Jordan, Dom. Right, so it's Dom then.
We will see you next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Okay.
Bye bye, children.
We'll have that. We'll have that one. Oh, good. Good. We did the end of show ISO. Thank goodness for that.
Tick it off yeah. the list.
Oh, God.
This is what hard feels like, and that's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. I feel like we should end on some local radio.
How local?
Leicester.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Some Radio Leicester.
Yeah.
Would you like some Radio Leicester like to finish it. On? Check this clip out.
Okay, let's get to our first, straight away to our first dedication. Dear Chris, please say a big hello to Connie Lingus, who's 69 on Tuesday. She'll be enjoying my meat and two veg on Sunday at 12, which are all the very best, and tell her I look forward to seeing her when she comes. Thanks ever so much, says Ivan R. Don. And he says, please say hello to Bill as well. And that comes from Ivan going out to Connie in Thurnby Lodge here in Leicestershire.
Well,
who's Bill?
I don't know.
Why did he drop that in? I don't get the innuendo there.
I don't
there.
Know. Maybe it's just a distractor. So it looked like a normal message. But yeah, Connie, I've heard Connie Lingus mentioned on the radio before.
Have you?
Yes. Yeah,
I can't believe they aren't
Scott
wise.
Scott Chegg.
Who?
Scott Chegg.
Scott Chegg. I leaned over.
That's a good one. I leaned over. I've not heard I leaned
Don
over.
Don Keedig.
Don Keedig. Oh,
we've done it. We had yeah. a guy, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We've played a few of these in the past.
Don Keedig.
Don Keedig.
Excellent. Always good.
Fucking hell. We've only done like 25 minutes.
I know.
I feel like I'm cheating the. Producers.
Got an hour and a half of Ryan there.
I know, yeah. So you've had your fill in part one. We've had a late night last night. We're very tired.
Yeah. Yeah, you've seen the mess. We were in.
Yeah, I was pretty messy. I went really, I got home and then I became super drunk.
Oh, no.
So I got home all right, and I got this pizza. Matt, do you know what Matt got from takeaway?
I don't know.
A 12-inch pizza, meat feast, and a portion of chips.
And we'd had tea. We'd been out, and that's it.
Oh, we had Korean, didn't we?
We had Korean, yeah. I had a pancake.
I've never had Korean food before. It was yummy.
It was really nice. Yeah, really nice. Kimchi and whatnot.
The Labrador steaks were especially good.
Woof.
No, it was really nice. We had chicken, didn't we? The butter chicken was to die for.
It was like fried chicken, wasn't it?
There were chunks.
Yeah,
Like chunky balls of chicken.
Big chungus.
And it was like so, what's the word? Moist.
Succulent.
Succulent, that's the word I was looking for. Best really chicken nice. I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I had some squid. Do you try the squid?
I tried the squid, yeah.
I don't think I've ever had squid before.
Have you not?
I don't think so. And I saw something. Well, the thing is, right, rather than ordering food normally, we ordered a shitload of starters between the lot of us, didn't we?
That was clever.
It was a good idea. We tapassed the shit out of it.
We tapped that ass.
And so we got to try little bits of everything.
Yeah.
It was a great idea, that. So, yeah, I wouldn't have ordered squid if I was just ordering it for me. So I tried a bit. It was fine.
I'm quite proud of my chapstick prowess.
Oh, yeah.
Restaurant. Yeah. Yeah, I've not used chapsticks since I was in China. But, yeah, it was good. They were good chapsticks, them as well, metal ones.
I just used my fingers.
Do you remember stealing a pair?
Yeah, I feel terrible. I brought my chopsticks home with me. I'm going to have to post them back.
I've finished with these sounding bars.
Ooh. Yeah, as soon as I saw them in the morning, I thought, oh, why did you do that? You
did. Yeah, it's one of those stupid things, like when you have a
too much
pocket
beer.
Full of pint glasses.
Yeah. Oh, what about that mad pint glass I had? Do you remember that ginormous pint glass
I had? Yeah, the old Erdinger.
A Weissbier.
Weissbier.
It came in this glass that was about, blooming, I don't know, 12 inches tall, maybe? Mm.
Big Weissnicht.
It was.
12 inches tall, was it? That was a penis joke.
Fuck.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good night out. In Preston Town Centre, of all places.
Yeah, you and me and Matt. Panhead was there,
yeah.
And his wife.
Yeah.
That was it, wasn't it? It was five of us, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, because Squad didn't come in.
Raymond Jet Squad.
No.
Made some bullshit excuse up there.
He shunned us.
Oh, I was halfway there and decided not to come.
Raymond Jet Squad, if you're listening.
You're let down.
You have to come out next time.
You have to come out next time, yeah. Right. Shall we sign off? Fuck off into the night?
Yeah, let's leave it. We've got like work and shit to do for another week. I know.
We have to... We'll be back next week.
We'll
do some more. Do some more. Hey, if we had enough support, I could easily do a midweek podcast. But the numbers aren't there.
No. No, once we get to double figures, I think we'll be.
Like 10?
Yeah. 10, maybe 10, yeah.
Regular watchers.
10 total views on.
10 views, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we can up it to 2 streams a week.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's sensible.
It's fair, isn't it?
Yeah. We give you what you want.
Less. Less of this podcast, please. Right, let's go. Let's go. I'm tired. And, you know.
Sun's real low.
Yeah, sentencing will occur on September the 22nd. He could get a long time in prison for that.
Really?
Yeah, like a decade.
What? Why?
Out in 5, whatever. Because you're not supposed to... You know, it's,
no, you're not, but...
it's rape.
What? What was that?
That was Ryan. That was me and Ryan. Don't know what we're talking about.
It's...
rape, obviously.
Oh, gosh.
Fee-fi-fo fum. I smell the blood of a chungus one. Wishing a sussy back a birthday to Reese, the beast Mora. All the Brexit football boys hope you have a chungus crewmate day.
Oh.
P.S. Don't think... just because it's your birthday, we can't see you venting to electrical.
Yeah, have a chungus crewmate week, everyone. And we'll see you next week.
Yes. All right.
Take care. Have a good one.
Goodbye.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so tired.
I'm tired, boss.
I don't know. Was it a good one, that, or not?
Sometimes.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Yeah, a bit shit, maybe. I don't know.
It was good.
And these guys, I mean, they're having fun now, but my goodness, they've also got a dark side.
So long until I jerk a knot in your ass.
Are you not entertained?
So long, gay boy.
The ultimate puss party. You dirty benches.
We'll be there. We'll be there. PSG. We will be there.
We'll be there at the ultimate puss party. Yeah.
We're just doing this for your own good.
Anna El Etifaki. See you soon.
Just enormous. And not just the length, it's massive girth.
Yeah. Hey, there's been lots of talk about Rishi falling on his sword, hasn't there?
There has, yeah. On his sword.
Rashid Sunak.
Yes, yeah.
On Chinook.
Falling on Penny's sword.
And she's the sword bearer.
She is the sword bearer.
Wow. No chance. I don't think it's going to happen. I can't see it happening. Because Rishi's on fire.
So long.
Oh, that's the wrong... Someone's named a clip wrong there. Oh my gosh, I fucking queued that up as well.
It was perfect.
Oh, fucking hell. Let's get off the fucking crazy bus, man. Get off the bus.
Bye bye, bye bye, bye bye, bye bye, bye bye, bye
bye. Congratulations on becoming a doctor of thugonomics.
Chungus pirate from Basildon.
Based Sigma Chad. You got caught sucking your fingers on the bus.
Thank you for watching.
Won't you take your eye?
A sussy Chungus pirate from Basildon.
Come on, man.
I never sucked any ding-dongs.
Wag wham fam, you're going to Somerset.
I think you're hitting the point, Phil, that,
yes!
And it really bothers me. Because I believe I have an issue in this respect.
I'm too fat. I'm too stupid. I'm too lazy. I don't get out of bed in the morning. I smoke drugs. Give me money.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
I am so fucking tired of doing podcasts.
Oh, you're gay.
We will see you next time. Thanks for tuning in.